This is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website omahaschoolofmusicanddance.com. A couple of musical instrument questions today. Question number one, which instrument was initially named for the fact that it could play both softly and loudly? Was that A, the French horn, B, the clarinet, C, the piano, or D, the cello? Instrument named for playing soft and loud. Which one was that? And question number two, where physically is the exact middle of a piano keyboard? Is it A, middle C? Is it B, a couple of inches above middle C, or C, a couple of inches below middle C? The physical center of the piano keyboard? Where is that anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from the website onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of November 27th. Well, it was on this day, back in 1964, that Willie Nelson made his debut on the Grand Ole Opry. 1964 today. And it was 44 years ago today, 1976, that Jerry Lee Lewis shot his bass player, Norman Butch Owens, twice in the chest while trying to hit a soda bottle. Lewis was charged with shooting a firearm within the city limits. That was 1976 today. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Shania is Back. A lost voice and a failed marriage put the legendary country singer on a years-long journey of rediscovery. Today, she's singing, acting, and living with as much joy and energy as ever. This is written by Alana Nash and published in AARP, the magazine, March 2020 issue. Something was wrong, really wrong. Whenever she tried to sing, the old power would not come. The pitch was wobbly, her voice was choked, and nothing seemed to help. In 2003, Shania Twain, a five-time Grammy winner and the top-selling female country artist in history, started losing the gift that had taken her from poverty to stardom. One of her albums, the genre-busting Come On Over, had sold 40 million copies worldwide. Now she wasn't sure she would ever sing again. I was slowly losing my voice and slowly losing my confidence, she has said of that time in her life, and nothing that I could achieve in my career made me feel good enough. What could feel worse than losing a voice that had saved your life? Perhaps losing your marriage. A few years after she left the limelight, Twain's husband, Robert John Mutt Lang, who was also her co-writer and producer, told her their 14-year marriage was over. Within weeks, she discovered the reason. He's been cheating with her best friend. Twain plunged into a depression. There were days I really didn't care if tomorrow came, she once admitted. This story, though, is not a sad country song, but a feel-good pop anthem. Some 16 years after the hard times started, Twain is back with a revitalized voice, a happy second marriage, a return engagement in Las Vegas, and even a budding film career. The title of her second movie, I Still Believe, could describe her own comeback story. Survival is everything, Twain says over a glass of white wine. I was in quicksand. I panicked like everybody does. But I didn't surrender. I found a way out. She laughs. Age brings perspective, she adds. Every day I learn something new, and I plan on doing that until the day I die. Born Eileen Regina Edwards and raised in Ontario, Canada, Twain endured a hardscrabble childhood. Her biological father abandoned the family early, and after her mother, Sharon, married Jerry Twain, there wasn't always enough money for heat or proper meals. The family moved often and experienced domestic violence. When she was just 4 years old, Eileen saw her stepfather knock her mother unconscious. That was the beginning of the storm for the rest of my childhood, she says now. I don't know how we survived it. Eileen had a pretty singing voice, but she was petrified to perform in front of crowds. Still, her mother grabbed on to the child's talent like a lifeline, getting her up in the middle of the night to sing in bars. By age 8, Eileen was a country folk singer. At 17, she was touring with a rock band. In 1987, Sharon and Jerry were killed in a car crash, and 22-year-old Eileen took charge of her three younger siblings. When she was discovered by a Nashville attorney who set her up with a record contract, Eileen became Shania. Her first country tour in early 1993 was with a young Toby Keith, who remembers both Twain's generosity and her seriousness of purpose when it came to rehearsals. She wouldn't compromise, he says. Her first album failed to yield a major hit, but Mutt Lange, the producer of AC/DC and Def Leppard, heard something in her voice, and when he offered her to co-write and produce her next album, The Woman in Me, Twain jumped at the chance, crafting songs with hooky melodies and clever wordplay. Her follow-up album, 1997's Come On Over, also produced by Lange, helped redefine modern country. Twain was on tour in 2003 when her voice began to falter. The diagnosis was dysphonia, a neurological disorder of the larynx. The cause was unknown, though. Then Lang told Twain that their marriage was over. Today, Twain seems fully recovered from her heartache and also finally from the problems with her voice. The period away from had left its mark on her. When she began writing songs for her 2017 album, now her first in over a decade, there was plenty of stress involved. The songs she was writing were naked, raw, and full of pain. The record debut at number one on both the Billboard Country and Pop Album Top 200 charts. You don't get to where Twain has gotten twice without persistence. And she never stopped trying to determine the source of her dysphonia. It was a Philadelphia doctor, Robert Sateloff, who finally figured it out. A case of Lyme disease had caused nerve damage, which had weakened the muscles in her throat. In addition to working to regain the ground she lost in the music world, Twain has staked claims in new territory as a film actress. In 2019, she played her first dramatic role with John Travolta portraying her love interest in the race car film Trading Paint. Now Twain is appearing in I Still Believe, the story of real-life Christian music singer-songwriter Jeremy Camp, who lost his 21-year-old wife, Melissa, to cancer. These days, Twain is writing new music, much of it reflecting on her childhood. She hopes to continue acting and would love to take on a role that's really out of character, like the villain in a horror film. Not content with just one new career in her 50s, she has begun to do film scoring as well. After everything she's been through, Twain could be forgiven for wanting to play it safe with her career and her life, yet she reveals that the older she gets, the more comfortable she becomes with taking risks. Sometimes I get overwhelmed coping with things, but experience also teaches you how to manage, she notes. When you get older, you have so much experience at falling and getting up. You're not going to stop falling, but you will get better at getting up and brushing yourself off. I believe that. I've lived that. And in classical music news, 2020 has been a rough year, and Andrea Bocelli has an album to help you feel better about life. The all-star Italian tenor will release Believe on Friday, and it is packed with songs set to soothe the soul. The iconic Alison Krauss and Bocelli team up for a cover of Amazing Grace, and there are also two duets with opera singer Cecilia Bartoli. The 14-track album even includes a previously unreleased song from revered Italian composer Ennio Morricone, who died earlier this year at age 81. This was published in the News and Observer on the 13th of November, 2020. And in jazz music news, we have this article entitled, Play It Forward, Thundercat Eases Loneliness with Trippy Music. This is published in NPR, November 19, 2020, by Ari Shapiro and Mano Sunderson. On the last edition of Play It Forward, All Things Considered's Chain of Musical Gratitude, Los Angeles singer-songwriter Mia Doy Todd spoke about Grammy Award-winning multi-instrumentalist Thundercat. Bass frequencies, they move the heart and the core, so I just love the bass. Thundercat is a genius bass player, super lyrical, she said before addressing the artist directly. Hi, Thundercat, it's Mia. I hope you're well these days. I put on your records and I don't feel lonely. Even in these crazy times, I feel like everything's going to be okay. Thundercat says he found Todd's message overwhelming. I think that was slightly overwhelming. I appreciate it beyond reason. It made me feel better about everything right now. That was very sweet of her to do that. The artist spoke to NPR's Ari Shapiro about the humor in his music, building his confidence as a vocalist, and an artist he's grateful for, Lewis Cole. The interview highlights include the following. On the title of his latest album, It Is What It Is. It means up and downs and strikes and gutters. It's the good and the bad. It goes hand in hand. It tends to be a bit funny for me now. When there is no answer, it's just, it is what it is. What are you going to do? It feels a bit more comedic for me at this point, for sure. On the importance of humor in his songs, it's very heavily entangled in there, to be honest, the comedy. It's something that I've always thought that was important ever since I was a kid. To laugh, being able to laugh, is one of the best feelings ever. On the song Dragon Ball Darag, it has a pretty funny story behind it. There was a person I was dating a while ago, and I remember, sometimes you don't know the things that attract the other person to you. I was lounging in the house in my durag, and the person I was with, I remember the look in her eyes, and I was like, why is she, what's going on here? And she said she liked how I looked in my durag. It was a game-changing moment for me. I was writing music as I was getting this look, so it kind of translated literally. On an artist he's thankful for, Lewis Cole. Lewis Cole is, I think, one of Los Angeles' greatest musicians. It's one of those things where he is 100% in control of what he's doing. He knows what's going on, and he's very well-versed in many instruments. There's a specific tune from a group he has called Knower. I think the title of the song is F the Makeup, Skip the Shower. That was one of the first moments I got a chance to really fall in love with Lewis Cole's music. It's one of those things where the progression's happening, the way it's moving, the speed it's moving at. It feels very simple, but it's extremely complicated. I would like to say, I love you, man. I'm excited to see where you're going, where you take things all the time. Keep creating, man. What you're doing is definitely changing the world. Just keep going. And in music research and technology, we have this article published in CBS News, November 20th, 2020, entitled, CultureNet Streaming Service Offers Virtual Music Education. In a socially distant world, CultureNet allows students to access music classes over the Internet. Co-founder David Donnelly joins CBSN to talk about the benefits of music education and what inspired the creation of CultureNet. That's one word, by the way. Your gateway to music exploration, now streaming in the U.S., Canada, United Kingdom, and Australia. CultureNet is an interactive streaming subscription designed by award-winning filmmakers and educators to engage children and stimulate their curiosity for music. K through 12 programs for home. Deepen your child's appreciation for music or supplement your homeschool curriculum. Add free content to watch and learn. Subscriber-only kids club events. Bonus educational activities. World-class content built for young minds. Spark your child's music curiosity with custom-designed kids series, award-winning films, exclusive performances, and more, all designed to encourage music exploration and engagement. Featured series, Remote Renaissance for Beginners. This is perfect for ages 6 through 12. Children watch one 12 to 15-minute episode per week and complete a short activity. This completely unique educational experience interfaces short lessons with dynamic performance clips and documentaries. Activities include Build Your Own Instrument, Sound Wave Science, and more. Week 1, Introduction to the Orchestra, about 1 hour in time. Learn the names of the instrument families, how sounds are made, and what instruments belong to each family. Week number 2, Musical Tempo, about 1 hour in length. Learn how to speed affects the mood of a song and musical vocabulary such as tempo, largo, and allegro. And in week 3, Musical Range, about 43 minutes in length. Learn about the different vocal ranges and how musicians create variety by mixing high and low sounds. Live performances and exclusive extras. Connect with our celebrity musicians through Kids Club concerts and events. Interact and ask questions during live Q&A sessions. This is also available for schools. Give your school a cultural edge with exposure to world-renowned musicians, performances, feature films, and more. Live musician meet and greets, on-demand content library, pre-built lessons and learning materials, on-demand content and activities.
He let us in, knows where we've been. In his octopus's garden, in the shade.
Hey,
The Beatles' Octopus's Garden introduces our rock and pop music news. It's entitled, Paul McCartney Says He Feels Lucky to Have Met John Lennon. This is published in People magazine on the 24th of September, 2020, by Phil Boucher. Paul McCartney opened up about their relationship in a special interview for BBC Radio 2 with John's youngest son, Sean Ono Lennon, ahead of what would have been John's 80th birthday. The full interview, titled John Lennon at 80, aired on October the 3rd and 4th. I look back on it now like a fan, McCartney said in the interview. How lucky was I to meet this strange teddy boy off the bus who played music like I did. And we get together and boy, we complimented each other. Hosted by Sean, 44, the two-part documentary about his dad who was tragically murdered outside his New York City apartment on December the 8th, 1980, also features memories from his elder brother, Julian Lennon, and godfather, Elton John.
We would shout and swim about the coral that lies beneath the waves.
On the show, McCartney also premieres a previously unheard track with John, Just Fun, which was written by the two when they were first starting out in Liverpool. There were a few songs that weren't very good, you know, clearly young songwriters who don't know how to do it, McCartney said about their schoolboy attempts to write songs together, before picking up a guitar and playing a short excerpt of the track. Eventually, we started to write slightly better songs and then enjoyed the process of learning together so much that it really took off. Referring to their iconic track, Let It Be, McCartney revealed that he now sees a photo taken by his late wife, Linda, of him writing with John as a reminder of their unique friendship, adding that it gives him hope. The group split in 1970, with John and McCartney becoming estranged for years afterwards. In the interview, McCartney added that the Imagine singer was full of insecurities and that he used his famous gift of humor as a protective shield of confidence. Wait a minute. There's this guy, John Lennon, who's like a genius, clever, witty, confident, and everything. Why would he have insecurities? Because we're all fragile beings, McCartney said. For John's children, Sean and Julian, however, the Beatle was just dad, even if they did have to deal with fans constantly flocking to their homes in England and New York. Sean and Julian talk about their dad together for the first time and add that listening to his music is now something of a double-edged sword, with Sean describing the process of listening to his final album, Double Fantasy, as overwhelming because so many of his childhood memories are wrapped up with being in the recording studio. The documentary also features an interview with Elton John. When I met your dad, I felt like I'd known him all my life, and that's the biggest compliment I can pay him, Elton John tells Sean, according to BBC. The Rocket Man singer added that he biked 8 miles across London to buy a copy of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band in the 60s, and later wound up on the Madison Square Garden stage in New York with John in the ex-Beatles' final show. And in local music news, the music will play on. Streaming series on sale now. This is put out by the North Carolina Symphony in ncsymphony.org. The North Carolina Symphony, that their concert series can be streamed from my Mandy Concert Hall to your home. Concerts are just $20 each. Coming up next, Zool Bailey plays Rachmaninoff. That's Saturday, December the 5th, 2020 at 8 p.m. Zool Bailey, cello. Natasha Peremsky on piano. Rachmaninoff's trio, Elegiatke, number one, and Rachmaninoff's Cello Sonata. Phone 877-627-6724 or go to mcsymphony.org for more information and tickets. So, how did you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which instrument was initially named for the fact that it could play both softly and loudly? Was that A, the French horn, B, the clarinet, C, the piano, or D, the cello? Correct answer. Answer C, the piano. The piano was originally called pianoforte because of its ability to play both quietly, piano, and loudly, forte. The harpsichords that came before it were only able to play softly. And the answer to our second question, where, physically, is the exact middle of a piano keyboard? Is that A, middle C, B, a couple of inches above middle C, or C, a couple of inches below middle C? Correct answer? Answer B, a couple of inches above middle C. Actually, the physical middle of the keyboard is located right between the E and the F notes, just to the right of middle C on the keyboard. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.